How's everybody doing today?
Good.
Thank you, Pastor Dave and Pastor Cynthia, and for all you great folks out there. Let me make a disclaimer right quickly. I'm walking with a limp today, and I'm going to share a story that kind of helps you to understand that. Raise your hand. I bet I can beat everybody in here with one unique thing, and I bet I got better than anybody else. I bet I'm the only person in this room who has four kidneys. Anybody want to challenge me? I didn't think so. You don't have. There's always one. There's always one. He is the self-proclaimed active person in the student ministry here. So let's give him a hand. Part of the byproduct or the side effect of the medications or having four kidneys is I get gout occasionally. And so I had a bowel flare up while leaving Epworth by the Sea, and it's in my ankle. It's not too bad. I've had it worse. And so for you guys, if you think that you are man enough, you've never had pain like this before. It will make you cry. So if you will bear with me as I kind of hobble along, I won't move too much. I generally try to move one way to the other. It's not because I have a lot of energy. It's kind of I want to make sure who's paying attention. So generally, that's what I do. But for today, I'm going to talk about Jacob. This is the second installment. The first installment was at 8 o'clock. This is the second installment of Jacob. I'm doing a series called The Jacob Story. And today, the Bible lesson comes from Genesis chapter 28, reading verses 10 and following. I invite you to hear the good news. Jacob left Beersheba and headed towards Haran. At sunset, he came to a place and camped there. He lay down to sleep, resting his head on a stone. He dreamt that he saw a stairway reaching from earth to heaven, with angels going up and coming down on it. And there was the Lord standing beside him. "I am the Lord, the God of Abraham and Isaac," he said. "I will give to you and to your descendants this land which you are lying. They will be as numerous as the specks of the dust of the earth. They will extend their territory in all directions, and through you and your descendants I will bless all the nations. Remember, I will be with you and protect you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done all that I have promised you." Jacob woke up and said, "The Lord is in this place, and I didn't know it." And he was afraid and said, "What a terrifying place this must be. It must be the house of God. It must be the gate that opens into heaven." So Jacob got up the next morning, took the stone that was under his head, and set it up as a memorial. Then he poured olive oil on it and dedicated it to God. He named that place Bethel, the town that used to be known as Luz. Then Jacob made a vow to the Lord, saying, "If you will be with me and protect me on the journey that I am making, and give me food and clothing, and if I return safely to my father's home, then you will be my God. This memorial stone which I have set up will be the place where you are worshipped, and I will give you a tenth of everything you give to me." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
As I mentioned to you, I've got four kidneys, and the story, you hear the end of the story, but it hadn't always been all good things. In fact, several years ago, about 12 years ago, when I was going to the doctor and the results were not pleasing to the doctor, the numbers were doing strange things. And if you've ever gone to the doctor, you know what it means like to sit in the waiting room and the doctor comes to see you, and he always has cold hands. I'm not sure what's up with that. Anybody ever had that experience? And so he diagnoses you, and he has terrible bedside manner, and you're already afraid because you really don't like to go to the doctor. You only go because you have to. And then he says, "Well, if you'll wait right here, we need to run some more tests." Ever had that happen?
Yes.
Yeah, I had that happen. And I had to have lots of tests. I mean, lots of tests. And one day, driving to the doctor's office, I had a unique encounter. I was ambushed, or literally ambushed, by a red-tailed hawk. It literally flew in front of my car. It was as if it was a kamikaze, and it had a death wish. It was bent on destroying my car, and it just flew right across, and I had to slam on my brakes. I've never seen this before. And that was one time, was not going to be the last. And so every time I went to this doctor, I had some type of encounter with a hawk. Either it was on the tree next door, or fly circle around. You've seen how they circle around in the sky. And so finally, as I was leaving the doctor's office one time, I don't know if it was the same hawk. I didn't really ask its name. I'm sure there was a nest of hawks and there were other hawks, but it seemed like at the time it was the same hawk. And so I decided I'm gonna follow this hawk. I don't know what came over me, but I did. So I get in my car and I had been at Callaway Gardens. I don't know if you've ever heard of the place, but they have this Birds of Prey show. And I bought a pair of the binoculars to do bird watching. And so I had my binoculars out. And so I'm driving on a federal highway, and I'm watching this hawk as it flies to pine tree to pine tree. So it stopped atop of a high pine tree, about 30 feet. So I pull off to the shoulder of the road. I get out, I've got my binoculars. Mind you, there's traffic going on behind me, okay? And so I'm mesmerized with this hawk. And this is where it gets really, really weird. So the hawk looks down as if it's looking at me. And I say, you looking at me? Why are you laughing? This is a true story. This really happened. And the hawk nodded. The hawk nodded. And I'm thinking, okay, God, I'm thinking, people are looking at me. If they didn't know I was crazy, they probably want to admit me now. I'm standing on the side of the road, looking at a hawk, and I'm talking back and forth to a hawk. And so I'm thinking, well, what's the hawk doing? And so it looks down at me, and then it faces toward a gorgeous sunset. I mean, it was a huge, big yellow ball in the sky. It was like a beach ball, or if you Mac user, it was that spinning beach ball that was huge that wouldn't come off your screen. And it was just there, and the hawk kept looking down at me, looking at him, looking down at me, and I'm thinking, okay, he's trying to tell me something. And so I look over at the sun, and he looks down at me, and kept looking, and from nowhere, these words came across my awareness. Face the sun. And then I said it out loud, and the hawk nodded and flew away. And there I am on the side of the road, a federal highway, wondering what on earth does it mean to face the sun. I don't know if you've ever had experiences like that, but they're kind of commonplace for me. And I suspect they're commonplace for you if you have eyes to see. If you're always going through life, just going from one appointment to the next and never slowing down, you don't see these type of things. But on that day, because I had something going on with me, because I was struggling, I was dealing with something. I didn't like the news that I had received. And so I was facing something that I didn't know what to do. And I was trying to run away from it because the doctor had diagnosed me with end-stage renal disease. That's the technical term. The down-to-earth term, I had kidney failure. And they didn't know why. And I had three choices. I could do nothing and my kidneys fail, And that wasn't an option, because when your kidneys fail, everything else fails, and you're 6 feet under. That wasn't an option for me. I could do dialysis, or I could get a transplant. Well, I wanted a transplant before dialysis, but that's another story for another day. Maybe you'll invite me back, and I'll share that part. So I was struggling. In our biblical story, Jacob, we find Jacob. Jacob is a twin brother. He's a younger of a twin brother. And Jacob had an interesting upbringing in his family. Raise your hand if you had an interesting upbringing in your family. Now, if your brother or sister or mama is here, don't raise your hand, because I don't want to get you in trouble. But Jacob had an interesting upbringing, because his mother favored him and the father favored his older brother. And because of that particular culture, the oldest child was always the favorite. Any older children, I'm the older of my, and you're always supposed to be the responsible one. Everybody, have you ever heard that before? Any babies in the family, the youngest in the family, and you always get away with murder? Is that the way it works?
Yeah.
Okay, so you understand this type of dynamic. So Jacob was in the shadow of his older brother, Esau. Esau was to get the blessing from his father because he was the oldest. Jacob tricks his father into giving him the blessing with the help of his mother. His brother is older, bigger, faster, stronger. You know what that equation ends up with? Beaten up. Jacob realizes this and runs for his life. And it's at the running that he's halfway between his home, Beersheba, the place that he's comfortable with, and the place that he's supposed to be going, to his mother's family, Haran, that he has this encounter. In other words, this dream that he has interrupts him. You ever been interrupted in life? And if you're like me, when you're interrupted in life, you tend to think that the interruption is bothersome. But what if the interruption is God? What if that interruption is God breaking into your life? What if, as I soon found out, that hawk was a messenger from God, and facing the sun was literally, I was facing the direction of West Point Road in LaGrange, Georgia. And in some cultures, the four directions are extremely important, because if you're in the east, that's where the sun rises. And if you're in the west, that's where the sun
sets.
I had to face the setting sun. In other words, something in my consciousness, something in my daylight, something in my way of being is getting ready to set. I had to face the way of letting go. I had to face the way that the sun literally drops out of the sky. And that scared me to death. Literally. Jacob has this dream. And the dream is a stairway, a ladder, an escalator. Whatever it was, we're not necessarily sure. But there were beings going up and down it. And it wasn't something that he ate earlier that night. It wasn't the leftover Lenten stew that he had tricked and given his brother. This was a God moment. Something interrupting his life. Have you ever had a moment where you're stuck in between the past and you don't know what the future's going to be? And you really wish that God would send an email or be on social media or send a text message? God doesn't seem to work that way. God seems to work more like Jacob's encounter, like my encounter. He has to interrupt our way. Because life that we live on the run, we're always running from one thing to the next. And sometimes God interrupts us with things such as illness, such as crises, such as any type of thing that alters your way to get your attention, to slow you down, not to punish you, even though it feels like it at first. When I was diagnosed with kidney disease, the first transplant, it scared me to death. I've had one since then, and it was more difficult. So how has God interrupted your life? How does God show up at church and interrupt what we have planned? You see, what tends to happen is we know what's best, and we tend to want to operate either from a perspective on one side of the fence about rules. You do this, you do this, you do this, you do this, you do this. You don't do this, you don't do this, you don't do this, and you do that. And if you live by those rules and everybody obeys the rule, life is good. And if somebody has done something against the rules, well, they got what they deserve. Some people live that way. There's nothing wrong with it. On the other end of the spectrum, people live by relationships, not the rules. And so, it's okay. That's just Quincy. That's just the way they are. We know that. We'll look over that. We'll just love them. We'll just forgive them. And life will be good because I really don't like confrontation. Anybody find themselves on either side of the fence? Maybe what God wants us to do is live between rules and relationship. You see, Jacob broke all the rules, but because he was his mother's favorite, he was all about relationship. And the relationship was where he was at the center. And this dream that God shows up uninvited. You know, that's something about God. God doesn't send you an RSVP. God just shows up and shows out. Now, and Dave mentioned that we were in seminary together, and when we were in seminary together, we both learned this word. I didn't know the word, maybe Dave did, but it's called prevenient grace. Now, where I grew up, it was God shows up and God shows out. When God shows up, he doesn't wait for an invitation. God shows up and says yes before you even know who God is. And so it's not about you finding Jesus. No, it's about Jesus finding you.
Amen.
See, it's not about what you're doing and you're going to get your life together and then you're going to turn over to God. No, God's been orchestrating things and using things behind the scenes. Now, I'm not suggesting that God is a puppet master. I'm not suggesting that God knows exactly what you're going to do, when you're going to do it. Some of you may think that, and that's okay. I tend to think that God knows all the options. So God has plans for your life. Plural, not a plan. Plans with an S. So when plan A fails, God institutes plan B. When plan B fails, he institutes plan C. And so what happens when you have 26 options on your life and you run out of the alphabet? God starts over. A, B, BC. Whatever it takes, this is who God is. And God shows up in Jacob's life, and Jacob doesn't even know it. That's the way God operates. So what's your interruption? What's God speaking to you? How is God moving in your life? What disappointment, what fears are you struggling with that God wants you to move past? You see, when you drive your car, most of us tend to focus our attention on one or two pieces of glass. Follow me here. Some of us spend a lot of time adjusting our rearview mirror, okay? And adjusting our side mirrors with the little switch on the side that gets the left and on the right, objects appear closer than they are. You remember that? And some of us spend a lot of time doing that. And then there are other folks that it's as if they're in a television show and the camera's on them and they're in the car. And I don't know if you've ever paid attention, but any car scene, they're always doing like this. Nobody drives like this, by the way, but you've seen it, right? This means yes, that means no. You've seen it when they're driving, and you know what you don't see? There's never a rearview mirror. Why? Because they can't get the camera in there. And so some of us spend all of our time looking at the front windshield. You see, depending on what you focus on, tells me a lot about how you live your life. If you're always looking at the rearview mirror, you're focused on the past. You can't go forward looking at the rearview mirror. Well, actually, you can, and if you do, you probably, I won't let me know, I'm gonna get out of your way, because you're gonna hit something, okay? And that's why the front windshield is bigger than the rearview mirror. Jacob is at a point of transition. He's in neutral. He's running away, adjusting his mirror, making sure that Esau's not on his trail. And yet he has no idea what lays ahead of him. And so he has this dream. Somebody at this point, God is speaking to. Somebody in this place, God is moving mightily in their life. I'm going to ask the band to come forward as we continue to worship. Today is your day. I don't know who you are, I don't know where you are, but somebody needs to hear from God. And if you don't hear anything else I hear this. God loves you where you are, but God loves you so much that he won't leave you where you are. God wants to take you through, beyond, to experience this blessing of life. Some of you may still be focusing on the rearview mirror. And some of you might need to have a prayer for that. Some of you might need to ask God to help you to deal with your past. Others of you, you're still kind of stuck in neutral. Some of you have had plans for your life and they didn't pan out as well as you thought they would. And the direction that you thought you were going east, now you find yourself facing the sun, facing west. If that's you, I want you to ask God to help you. The simple prayer of God, help me, is probably the most important prayer that you can make today. It's the most important thing that you can do. Because when you ask that question, God will show up and God will show out. As the band begins to play our final song, I invite you to stand if you're able as we continue to worship. And if you need direction in your life, if you want to come forward to receive the grace of God through Jesus, if you've never connected with Jesus, I'm going to ask you to come forward, and Pastor Dave and Pastor Cynthia will be here. If you need strength, if you need prayer, if you need renewal, I ask that you come forward. Let's worship together. Let's continue to worship and let's sing.